Romans 10:6. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. Have you got it? Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. Before we read it, will you turn to your neighbor and tell them, the carrier of change is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, the carrier of change is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, but the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. So ladies and gentlemen, faith speaks. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. If you're not saying anything, there's a problem. I said faith speaks. Faith speaks. And in fact, in the old days, back in the days of Moses, the Lord commanded the people of Israel to say amen when Moses spoke. Because amen means, yes, let it happen to me too. It means I'm in agreement with this thing. Let me receive it. So the people say amen. Amen. So it says, the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says this, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are preaching. Hallelujah. I realized something about God a long time ago, and it's the strangest thing. God builds his kingdom, and words are the bricks. The way that you would use concrete, did you know, I didn't know this. Hey, let me give you a little teaser. The most commonly used substance on planet Earth is water. Right? Makes sense. Did you know the second most commonly used substance on planet Earth is concrete? Did you know that? Yeah. It's true. Isn't that interesting? You think about it. It makes total sense. The second most commonly used substance in the world is concrete. Well, let me put it this way. In the realm of the spirit, the most commonly used substance to build the kingdom of God is words. Words. How important are our words? Jesus said, by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. The Bible says, if you confess the Lord Jesus, then you shall be saved. So this little thing here has the ability to transform your life or to completely send it downhill. And I've seen something about this generation. The devil tried it in my generation. You know, if something was good back in the day, we used to say it was wicked. Anyone that old that you used to say wicked? Now they say it's sick. Why? Because if the enemy can twist something in your word, even though you're saying something, you're thinking it's good, but you're saying it's bad, what you're saying defeats what you're thinking. Isn't that amazing? Such is the power of words. And every single generation, the devil tries it. Every single generation. I remember, when was I praying? I was praying in the late 90s. And I was seeing something in the United States of America. This gangster rap thing had taken hold. I mean, lives were being lost. Whole generations were being lost to the drug culture, the gangster rap culture, slingers and all that kind of stuff. And I prayed, and the Lord said to me, he said, it's coming to the UK. This is 1997. He said, it's coming to the UK. I said, how can I tell? He said, it's in their mouths. The Lord told me that. He said, it's in their mouths. He said, if I can put gangster rap in the mouth of a young person, he said, the devil, the Lord told me that the devil, this is the way he thinks. If he can put gangster rap in the mouths of any young person, boom, You see, now I don't mind. I listen to some gangster rap myself. Sorry, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. You know, I'm a big Ice Cube fan and all that kind of stuff. I can't help myself, man. Grew up in Tottenham, you know the score. But you see, I won't let it come out of my mouth. Do you see what I mean? A lot of the time, one of the reasons why I like that kind of thing is because they remix some of those old tracks. You know that kind of 80s stuff that Ronke used to dance to? And still does. She's not shaking on that one. But, you know, I'm a Rare Groove fan, and they mix up these grooves and they put the bits together, but then they're like talking some that I won't, do you understand? I won't release those things. Why? My Bible teaches me that confession brings release. So I want to release the right things. I want to release the blessing of God. So something in my life will never be sick. It will be great. Amen. Amen. And so, you see, the Bible says that there's a time that when wickedness is in a generation, he says they'll call bad good and they'll call good bad. And you see that very much happening now, where certain things that are good are actually bad. So to be pro-life is bad. What is that about? To rescue children from the abortion clinic is bad. To believe in a marriage between a man and a woman, according to what the Bible says, is bad. I mean, you know, to believe that your gender is determined by the chromosomes you carry and not by what operation you have to stick bits on and take bits off is bad. Well, I will side with the Bible any day of the week. There's a huge difference between being biblically correct and being politically correct. Political correctness will say, oh no, you can't say certain things concerning cultures. That's wrong. You can't challenge a culture on the basis of the spiritual arguments over that culture. Well, the Holy Spirit did it in the book of Titus through Paul the Apostle. Cretans, he said, are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And he said, and it's true, because he was quoting a proverb. He said, some people say Cretans are liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And it's true. He says, for this reason, seriously reprove them. So what could you say about the Irish culture? Do you understand? Certain cultures have certain arguments over them. That's just the way it is. I remember talking to one of the guys after he's from Sierra Leone after church one Sunday. And he said, oh, Pastor P, he said, I was at a party last night and it was Sierra Leone Independence Day. I said, oh, was there a fight? He says, yes, how did you know? I said, I'm walking on. I'm just minding my own business. You see, now some people, oh, Pastor P, that's politically incorrect. Well, we've got to challenge these things. If you have a nation that's known for chaos, if you have a nation that's known for fraud, if you have a nation that's known for, you've got to go against these arguments, grab them and fight them in the spirit and say, as for me, my people might be like this, but as for me, I see myself as a redeemer of my people and I refuse to go that way in the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible's for. It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service. What's the service? The redemption of mankind. God's eternal purpose. Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. That is what God's intention is. And it's so important that we carry God's intention with us in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you see, the reason I've said this is that I want to encourage you today. The Lord told me, he said, tell the people to speak to it. Speak to it. Speak to it. Whatever situation it is that you want to see transformational change, speak to it. I love what the Lord said to Ezekiel. He said that Ezekiel is recording the valley of dry bones, and all he saw was dry bones. And the Lord said to him, he said, son of man, prophesy. And then the next verse says, he says, and I prophesied as the Lord commanded. In other words, I released words from my mouth to cause transformational change in those circumstances, and I saw those circumstances change. Really and truly, that's how I've lived my life. That's how I've lived my life. What's come out of my mouth and my giving have determined the course of my destiny. And the Bible says that I'm right. Hallelujah. May it be the same with you. May it be the same with your confession in Jesus' mighty name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, speak to it. Now, I was thinking about, well, speak to what? Speak to your life. Speak to your marriage. Speak to your business. Speak to your children. I mean, some of the words, our children will never know some of the words we've spoken over them. Because they don't need to hear what you are prophesying. Do you understand? I'm not going to, that's called nagging. Parents. Amen. Thank God I don't think we've ever nagged our children, have we? Okay. What? 14-year-old Esther. Oh, yeah. Suspect. praying about her husband to be. And she was 14 years old. Wow. You prayed over your daughter's marriage when she was 14. When she was in the womb. Wow, did you hear that? Those of you that are pregnant, those of you that are expecting children, that's a great example. Our associate pastor's wife prayed and spoke over their marriage when they were yet in the womb. Amen. What a great way to be. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, speak to it. Speak to it in Jesus' name. You know, if your finances are all over the place and you're barely, you know, London has this Pharaoh spirit. That spirit of Pharaoh is alive and well and living in London and crushing people to the extent that it's very hard for some people to make ends meet. Speak to it in the mighty name of Jesus. Prophesy to it. Command the blessing of God to fall on your life. My brother and sister, it will gather and it will come down on you like rain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said to me, he said, there's several processes for this. He said, number one, he said, ask for my word on the situation. Yes. Number two, dig for it. Wow. Number three, sow into it. And number four, don't let go of it. Ask God for it. Number two, dig for it. Number three, sow into it. And number four, when you get it, don't let go of it. Fight with a tenacity for that word to come about. It's amazing how God uses the words of your mouth and the determination of your heart. You remember what I was saying to the Life Changers people earlier on? That there's something about the act of the human will. There's something that God has given us called determination. That helps to set the course of our lives. When we speak with our words into the course of our life, and then God gives us the determination to see that thing through. Because I don't know if you've realized, my brother and sister, in life, a lot of the time, you have to be more determined than the devil. The devil is a tenacious creature. Tenacious. I love what Temi says. He says, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And those of you who are dog owners, you'll bear testimony to that. Because it's always the little dogs bullying the big ones. Because the fight in the little ones, they know they're fighting for their existence. The big dogs just fight to play. But the little ones know it's crunch time and I'm coming after you. And I'm going to bite you where it hurts. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me, and here's a couple of examples. The Lord gave me a couple of scriptures to use as, not necessarily as cornerstone scriptures, but just as guide rails for any time a situation comes up, if you see what I mean. The first one he gave me was Mark 9:35. Now, these are personal scriptures that God gave me. And Jesus said this in Mark 9:35. He said, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last and servant of all. So the Lord told me, he said, in ministry, he said, make sure you find a way to serve everybody who comes into your sphere of influence. Find a way to serve them. Find a way to bless them. In the early days of harvest, when there was probably, 15, 20 of us or whatever, I would just do whatever I could. And that meant I cooked for Terry and Viv. Do you remember that? I went round and painted Auntie Dinah's fence. Auntie Dinah, who did the catering yesterday in Collindale. When I went round her house, she just put in this new fence. And I said, you know what? I want to paint this way. I just want to do it as a seed. Did I cook for Ruth? Was it any good? When Amy Lou was born. You can't remember. May God forgive you in Jesus' name. Trust me, folks. Trust me. Trust me. It was delicious. Hallelujah. But these things, you see, they become markers. I remember God was speaking to me about my pension one time. And he said, you know, one of the ways to increase the return on your pension is to sow into the lives of the elderly. So I was standing in Asda in Watford one day, and there was an old woman at the checkout, and she just in front of me, loaded up her groceries, and I said, excuse me, I said, I really want to do something that you won't understand. I said, really, but it's for me, not for you. I said, can I pay for your groceries? Bang. I got a letter last week from my pension company because I took over my pension because of my banking background and everything like that. I took my pension on myself from when I used to work at Lloyds Bank. And when I worked at Lloyds Bank, they said that the amount that I was going to get in my pension yearly would be £3,600. That's when I took it over. And I took it over in February. And Valentine's Day, I made my first investment. I got a letter saying from the pension company saying that if I keep going the way I'm going, my pension will have trebled. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Just by virtue of the investments that I've made and the way I've set it up. Hallelujah. Now, when I saw that thing, I prayed about it and the Lord reminded me of the seed I'd sown into that old lady. Now, I didn't know. You see, you don't know. When you sow, you don't know that these things are coming. But that's why sowing is a lifestyle. Jesus said a sower went to sow. He didn't say a mechanic went to sow. You know, we are described in our lives by what we do. So people say, oh, yes, Paul Norton, he's a pastor of Harvest Church, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but primarily I'm a sower. That's how I live my life. That's how I see my life. My life is a seed. If I can sow something of the greatness of God into your life, it's not just for you that I'm doing it. It's also for me and for my children and for my children's children. I heard something so powerful at the wedding ceremony last night, the wedding reception, when Rosalind's dear mum, in fact, mummy, you're there at the back. Hello. God bless you. Can we clap for them, Roro's dad and mum? She's such a blessing to all of us at Harvest. And I remember hearing what Roro's mum said concerning, you know, people that she'd taken in. And she said, I took people in Kenya, people who weren't related to me, looked after them, blessed them, and treated them like they're my children. She said, and I knew, that's why I knew God would look after my children wherever they were in the world. I thought, wow, that's the concept of being a sower right there. You see, so I know that I have to, by virtue of the scripture that God gave me in that scripture there, I know that I have to be a sower. I have to be a servant. When God started taking me to the nations and people started, you know, getting healed and like big healings and miracles and a lot of hullabaloo, you know, I'd get off the plane in Accra in Ghana and there would be like maybe 50, 60 people waiting for me at the airport with my photo on their t-shirts. And you know, it's like, wow, you know, what is this? But such was the grace and the anointing on my life to do these big crusades. I mean, the biggest crusade I did was 56,000 people. That's quite a crowd. That's a big crowd. And the thing about it was, you see, then I started to seek God. I said, Lord, you know what? I don't want to ever start believing my own PR.
That's right. Praise God.
I don't want to start becoming the MOG. Please carry my Bible, walk three paces behind me, do what I. No way. No way. No, I want to be servant of all. There's something about it. You see, when you lose contact with the original word that God's given you over your life, you're in trouble. So I pray that I'll always serve. always. In fact, I said the first person who ever pulls up in a roller, I said, I'll clean the roller for them. Glory to God. And the offer still stands. A what? When I got back, oh, thank you, my love. I made the decision, sorry, I didn't finish, that when I got back from the place, that every Wednesday I would be in here working, cleaning up, painting, picking up tissues. If somebody missed the bin in the toilet, or if somebody didn't, you know, did something in the toilet and left, like, runway 2 at Heathrow, marks on the thing, that I would clean them, and, you know, that I would just be a servant that way. So many of you, I serve you in ways you don't know. And I'm not saying that because I want the adulation. No, I want you to be servants. What are you sowing into people's lives? You see, your mouth, and this is what the Lord said, your mouth, he said, directs the course of your life. But then you've got to be doing something about what you've said. Faith without corresponding action is dead. I remember Miles Monroe said something so powerful. It took me 2 weeks to think about it because I knew God was what he said. And Miles Monroe said this. He said, I went to the Bahamas. You know, he used to live in the Bahamas. I went to the Bahamas and I went to the port where all these massive cruise liners show up. And he said, one of the captains recognized me and he said, would you like to come on deck and see what we have in the control room? He said, Annie, this ship had one of those big old wheels. Apparently, some of them still do have those big wheels that you turn the direction of the ship. He said, and I turned the wheel this way. He said, and I turned the wheel that way. He said, and nothing happened. He said, that's because the engines weren't running. And I thought about that because have you ever had that thing where you know God's spoken to you, but you haven't quite understood, you haven't quite got what he said, so you have to churn it and churn it and churn it. I thought, wow, that's like so many Christians. You know, for many Christians, our mouths are full of stuff, but our actions are empty. And it was like, wow, so this thing's going to go nowhere. You can direct that because the Bible says that your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. But if there's nothing behind the steering wheel in terms of power, you're going nowhere. So faith without corresponding action is dead. But the first rung on the ladder of success in Christ is to speak. God will then give you the determination to see that thing come to pass. The Bible says the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. He puts the mouth first. And many times I've seen it in my own life where I've wanted something from God. I've not had a clue how to get it. But I've said it out of my mouth, and I've said it out of my mouth, and I've said it out of my mouth until somehow it's taken what they call in Alcoholics Anonymous the 18-inch drop. That's from your mouth to your heart. And then suddenly, when I've said it, something has come alive because the word starts in your mouth. Speak the word. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, speak to it. Whatever situation it is, they need to speak to it. Speak, 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 speak. Keep on speaking. Number two, another foundational thing the Lord gave me was from Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 23. It says, know well the condition of your flocks. Proverbs 27, 23. Know well the condition of your flocks. In other words, sunshine, if you're going to succeed in ministry, you can't be one of these MOGs that has a certain side entrance that comes in halfway through praise and worship, preaches a word, and everybody loves him, and then goes out the side entrance. No, I've got to be among the flock. I've got to know what the flock smells like. I've got to know the issues in their lives. I've got to be there to help. Because I saw something in the body of Christ that was kind of wrong. You know, I'd see churches of 15, 20 people. And the pastor of the church was like, you know, he was the grand MOG. Didn't sit on a chair, sat on a throne. I mean, a legend in his own mind. And I thought, Lord, deliver us from this nonsense. Where is this going? What? I saw one guy on Christian TV. And he had a handkerchief, and he was preaching hellfire and brimstone and goodness knows what. I mean, assaulting everything and every entity and every... And he was bald, and he was like wiping his body. The sweat was pouring off him, God love him. And he's wiping his thing, you know, and then the next thing is going in his eyes. And then the next thing, the thing goes right up his nose on TV. I mean, the guy's having a dig on television. I thought, God, no, we can't do this, man. We can't do this. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Oh, my gosh. Guys, if I ever do it, please just remind me of what I preached. Praise God. Why? You see, these are individual things for me. God was saying, this is how to set the course of your ministry. Don't deviate from these things. Know well the condition of your flocks. Be servant to all. And another third one I love from the book of Ecclesiastes. You don't have to turn there, but it's basically this. It says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Man, that is a principle from heaven. How many living dogs have we had in the ministry here in Harvest? Every one of us. Every one of us, you see. But the thing about it is, now let me explain that scripture for some of you that's never heard it. A living dog is somebody that's ready to do the job, but they're poorly equipped. So maybe they haven't been trained in the thing yet. Right? So you see, what God looks at is the willingness. Yes. It's not the ability. There's probably 50,000 singers in the UK that could sing much, much better than anyone in our worship team. There's probably 500,000 drummers better than... No, I'm kidding. bass players or whatever it is. You know, camera people, editors, office workers, ministers, pastors. There's probably 100,000 pastors better than me. But I was the living dog that said yes. You can be multi-skilled, multi-talented. What is it? 5% or less of all Bible school graduates go on to ministry. Something wrong there. The lions are dead. But thank God for the living dogs. Thank God for an evangelist who doesn't even know how to hold it, who thinks the string on the Bible is to hold the Bible. Rather than to mark your place. I don't know, was that you or not? No, that was John Avanzini. That's right. He said he got his first Bible. He thought the string, you know the string to mark the page? This one. He said, I thought when I first started in ministry that this was to hold my Bible. And somebody had to correct me. And you see, it's like that sometimes. I went to Ireland, and I'll close here. I went to Ireland to America with a gang from Ireland. And we were called the Fivefold Ministry. And one of the guys who was with us thought that the word Fivefold Ministry was for us because there was five of us. He didn't even know it was in the Bible. He said, you know Isaiah 53 verse 4, by his stripes we are healed. He thought it was the stripes on Jesus' coat because Jesus had a coat like Joseph. He got Joseph and Jesus mixed up. God still used him to heal people. Why? A living dog is better than a dead lion. Praise God. So the Lord said, he said, I'm commissioning you to raise up living dogs. Hallelujah. There's thousands of opportunities to fail. Thousands. But the important thing is that we know that we have a God who's with us. That when we fail, we can get up, dust ourselves off, and move right on again. Can you say amen to the Lord? Stand to your feet. I want us to thank God for his word. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray. Do you encourage us, Lord God? Give us that strong encouragement, Lord God, that we can lay hold of your word and speak it into our situations. We can speak to the chaos in our lives and command it to change. We can speak to things like our body weight or our blood pressure or our health generally and command it to be well. You've given us that authority, Lord God. You've given us that unique spirit. And to each one, Father, you've given us your unique word. As we find it, Lord, as we search for it, as we dig for it, as we sow into it and as we lay hold of it and don't let go of it. Let your word manifest, Lord God. Let it manifest in our lives, Heavenly Father. Your word says, how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Father, I pray that each one here, especially the Life Changers people this morning, but that each one, Lord God, be a carrier of good news to their generation, that they can show us the example of their lives, Heavenly Father, what you have done in and through them, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for those that say, yes, I will serve. Yes, I will go. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the equipping that you give, that you're not looking for ability, you're looking for availability. We thank you for it, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.